祷告开始。
Dear God, I thank you for this day.
主啊，我们为今天感谢。
Now help us as we study your word.
当我们学习你话语的时候。
That you will speak to us.
求你对我们的心说话。
I pray in Jesus' name.
我们这样祷告，奉主耶稣的名。Amen.
All right, let me kind of catch you up where we are.
现在我们先回顾一下，复习一下。
We have been working through Ephesians.
我们已经就是整个在讲以弗所书。
Because of my travel and because of activities, we had a few weeks of difference.
因为我的一些行程呢，所以现在有些几个星期是不同的。
Sister Hong Wei taught the beginning of Ephesians 5.
有一位姐妹，红卫姐妹讲了第五章的第前面那部分。
Oh, perfect. And then Nicholas, Brother Nicholas taught the end of chapter 6.
Nicholas 弟兄讲了第六章的最后那一份。
Now I am going to go back and do the end of chapter 5 and the beginning of chapter 6.
现在呢，我就回去讲第五章的那个最后那一部分跟第六章。
I really did not think it was fair to assign to Brother Nicholas to have to teach about marriage.
我觉得让那个随这个尼克勒斯弟兄讲这个婚姻。
I'm sure he would do a great job, but no one would be happy about this section, and I didn't want him to carry it away. Because of time, I think it may take us 2 weeks on this section.
所以我们大概需要两个星期的时间讲这一部分，就是婚姻家庭。
And then I am going to be away in China and India.
然后我会暑假不在。
And then we will pick up and finish chapter 6 at the end of July.
然后呢，我们到七月底的时候再开始讲第六章。
Now, before I do this, let me ask you, last year when we had the marriage retreat,
去年我们有这个婚姻特会的时候，就是教会堂庆的时候。
How many of you were at that retreat?
多少人当时是在的？多少人在的？去年九月份。
Only 3 or 4. Good, okay.
只有大概五六个人。
Because some of what I am going to say today is a repeat.
今天我所讲的跟那个上次讲的内容是有重复。
So if you were here and you remember, maybe it's just the Lord says, you need to hear it again.
如果你上次讲过，你现在就听，也许神对你说，你要再听一遍。
But we're looking Ephesians 5.
现在我们看第以弗所第五章。
Let me...show you how chapter 5 is arranged.
第五章是这么怎么样安排的呢？
Chapter 5 is talking about how we are to live as the people of God.
第五章是讲作为神的孩子，神的子民应该如何生活。
We have seen before that Ephesians starts chapters 1 through 3 with what we believe.
以弗所第一到第三章讲到我们所信的。
Chapter 4 begins then, because of what we believe, I urge you to walk in a worthy manner.
第四章呢是说，因为你们相信这些，所以呢，我劝你们行事为人，就当与蒙召的恩相称。
He talks about how we're to live in relation to each other in the church.
他讲到我们在教会里面应该彼此怎样相连接。
2 weeks ago, I think it was, Sister Hong Wei talked about the beginning of chapter 5 and the kind of ethics we are to live.
第五章的前面讲到，红卫姐妹讲到的说那个，我们就是以我们的伦理，我们的道路是怎么样的，作为基督徒。
Then if you will look at chapter 5 verse 15.
如果你看第五章第十五节。
He begins in Greek, this is all one sentence from verse 15 through 21.
第五章十五到二十节的原文里面，希腊文里面其实是整个是一句话。
All of that is one long sentence.
十五节到二十节是一句话。
And it's a sentence that does this.
它的这个句子里是这样说。
Look carefully how you walk.
你们要谨慎行事。
I want you, he says, to live a very careful Christian life.
就是保罗说，我想让你们过一个非常谨慎的一个基督徒生活。
Don't be unwise, but walk in wisdom.
不要像愚昧人，要像智慧人那样行事。
That's the command.
那个是一个命令。
The rest of the sentence tells us how we're going to fulfill that command.
这个句子的后面部分就讲到我们怎么样来执行这个命令。
How are we going to walk wisely.
我们如何才能够就是在智慧中行事呢？
There's two verses in this section that I think we very often overlook.
在这个句话里面呢，有两个部分我们经常就会忽略。
So this is what happens if we overlook these two verses, what I'm going to say, yes.
就是在这两句如果我们就是忽略的话,
if we overlook these, we jump to verse 22.
如果我们忽略这两句话，就直接跳到第22节。
And we say, wives, submit to your husbands.
然后就说，做妻子的顺服自己的丈夫。
And the wives all get angry.
然后太太都会很生气。
And then we read verse 25, husbands, love your wife.
然后我们读到第25节说,
And the husband says, I do love you. And she says, no, you don't.
然后先生说我爱你。太太说你不爱。
Yes, I do.
他说我确实爱你。
And soon we're fighting over whether we love each other or not.
然后我们就开始为彼此是否相爱开始吵架。
And then we go down to chapter 6, verse 1.
然后我们到第6章的第1节。
Children, obey your parents in the Lord.
说做儿女的在主里听从父母。
I preached to the youth this morning.
今天早晨我对那个青少年讲到。
About this verse.
是讲了这一句。
And I asked how many of them it was their favorite verse.
我问他们哪个人是你最喜欢的金句。
Only one person raised their hand.
只有一个人青少年举手。
And that was a mother.
那个是妈妈。
But we say, children, obey your parents, and they say, I don't want to.
然后我们对孩子说，你要听从父母，他们说我们才不听。
And then we read verse 4, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger.
第四节讲到说，做父亲的不要惹儿女的气。
We read verse 5, servants, obey your masters.
第五节讲的做仆人的要听从你们肉身的主人。
And all of this becomes this great entanglement of arguments about our relationship and responsibilities.
如果只是这样子呢，就变成一个这个争吵讨论的一个问题了，一个基础。
It's because we forget two very important sentence, parts of the sentence.
因为呢，我们忘记了这个句子里面最重要的两个部分。
First, verse 15.
第一个呢是5章15节。
Walk wisely.
就是说，你们要谨慎，有智慧的行事。
I want you to imagine for a minute that this was not a Bible.
我让你们想象，你们手里拿的这个不是圣经。
That it was not scripture. It was just Paul's advice.
不要想说这是经节，而是保罗给你的建议。If
this were not Bible,
如果这个不是圣经,
Paul would be an incredibly wise teacher.
那如果这个不是圣经的话，那保罗是一个非常有智慧的老师。Because
he understands human nature.
因为他非常了解人的本性。
And he understands the traps that tend to pull us away from wise living. And so he's saying, I want to help you to know how to live wise lives. And so he says, here's how you do it. All this is one sentence. Verse 16. Make the best use of your time because we live in evil, difficult days.
要爱惜光阴，因为现今的世代邪恶。
How many of you would agree that if you're going to be a wise person, you need to make good use of your time?
多少人同意，如果你想要成为一个有智慧的人，你必须要很知道怎么样来把握光阴。
My friend and I yesterday were talking when we were supposed to be working.
昨天呢，我们在那个干活的时候，我跟另外一个朋友，我们本来应该是干活，但是我们却在讲话。
When you're old like me, you have to learn some secrets about work.
当你像我到了我这个年纪，你应该知道一些工作的秘诀。
So if you hold a rake,
如果你拿那个耙子，
and you sweat,
然后你就是。
And you find someone to talk to, everyone thinks you're working. I only moved 2 little pieces of mulch the whole morning. The rest of the time I just, I'm working so hard. No, that's not true, but I didn't work as hard as these other men. But my friend said, how do we know when the Lord is coming back? Because it always says, we've always said he's coming soon, he's coming soon, he's coming soon. And people spend hours on the internet figuring it out. My answer is this. You can go back 150 years ago. And people are saying at the end of the 19th century, the Lord will come back. You can go back to 1749. A bunch of people quit their jobs because the Lord was coming back in 1750. You can go all the way through history in every century. The Lord was coming back. All the way back to 1 Thessalonians. When Paul writes and says, be ready because the Lord is coming back. And then he has to write 2 Thessalonians. Because some people quit working. Paul says the Lord's coming back. Let's quit our jobs. So Paul writes 2 Thessalonians to say, but he might not come back today. So keep working. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. There's a reason that the Lord hasn't told us when he's coming back. Because if he did, we would all just quit and say, well, then I don't need to worry about it. It's still 12 more years. So instead, Paul says, he's coming back. And you don't know when. So make sure today you are doing what you would want to be doing if he came today.
Walk
wise. Redeem the time because we live in difficult times. Every time in church history that some leader has said, this is when the Lord is coming back. There were people who made foolish choices. Because they said, okay, I don't need to worry about it now. Paul says, no, don't do that. Because listen, the Lord might not come back for 25 years. But you might die tonight. And if so, the Lord is coming for you tonight. And it's really foolish to say, well, he's not coming for 25 years, so I don't need to worry about it. So Paul is saying, live wisely. Use your time well. Verse 17, all of this is how we walk carefully. Don't be foolish. But know what the will of the Lord is. How many of you have ever made a really foolish decision? There should be some more hands. Never once did you make a foolish decision because that is what God's will was. Right? When I look back at my life at the foolish decisions, it's when I did not understand God's will and so I went my own way. So Paul says, if you want to walk wisely, find God's direction for your life. Verse 18, still one sentence. Here's how you walk wisely. Don't be drunk with wine. How many of you have ever known someone absolutely plastered who was making wise decisions? No. When you have an important decision, you really don't go to your local bar to find someone to give you good advice. Paul's being very practical here. When I'm drunk, I'm not making good decisions. Instead, he says, instead of being controlled by wine, be controlled by the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And then he continues, how is this going to look? When you are filled with His Spirit, you're going to be addressing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You're going to be giving thanks for everything. And you're going to be submitting to one another in reverence for the Lord. In other words, when I am filled with God's Spirit, it's going to affect my walk with Him. So I am going to be rejoicing with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. I'm going to be praising Him. It's going to affect my relationship with myself. Instead of grumbling, I'm going to be giving thanks. And it's going to affect my relationship with other people because I'm going to be living in submission and right relationship with everyone. So all of this long sentence is how do you live a wise life as a Christian. You need to understand that before you start reading, wives submit to your husbands. Because you need to understand this is not just a random command picked out of the Bible. It is God saying, I want to help you to have the right kind of wise life. Here's how to do it. And so he looks at this submitting one to another. That is the thesis of the whole section. Wise living is living in the right relationship, the right type of submission to one another in the body of Christ. And then he's going to give us what that looks like in three sets of relationships. Husband and wife in marriage. Parents and children, employers and employees. So we're going to look at each of those. The first one, marriage. And again, I want you to understand that this is not a prison that Paul is creating. It is a way to give us joyful, wise Christian life.
这个讲的不是保罗要给我们一个监牢牢把我们锁在里面，而是保罗给我们一个能过一个有智慧的喜乐的基督徒生活。
You know, it is sad to me that many, many Christian marriages fail, just as worldly marriages fail.
对我来讲很难过的一个事实就是很多基督徒的婚姻最后也以失败告终。
And I don't want to oversimplify this.
我不想把这个问题简单化。
There are many reasons.
有很多的原因。
But I'm convinced that one reason is this. We accept the world's philosophy of marriage. And that is, the highest good is my personal happiness. The primary goal of marriage is to make me happy. And if that becomes the center of the purpose for marriage, I'm going to be in trouble. Because not every day is marriage going to make me particularly happy. Sometimes, my marriage is about serving my wife. At my expense. And Dr. Wingham just said, Amen, I know what you mean. I've been living this for years. I watch while I'm teaching. But understand this. God's primary purpose in my marriage is not about making me happy every day. I was created to be like Christ, to be made in His image. And marriage is one of the ways that God is accomplishing that in me. That becomes more important than my personal happiness. That changes then how I look at the relationships. Now let me say that as you grow in your marriage, and as you grow in the image of Christ, you are going to become increasingly happy. But that is a side benefit, not the primary goal. And Malcolm Muggeridge said it like this. When I seek Christ-likeness, happiness comes unexpectedly. But when I seek primarily for happiness, I lose both Christ-likeness and happiness. So, that's the background to what he's teaching. Let's look then at what he says about how we have this strong marriage. The first thing I want you to see from this section is that if I want the kind of marriage he describes, number one, I must understand my role in the marriage. He starts in verse 21, submitting one to another out of reverence for Christ. He's then going to describe the wife's responsibility, the husband's responsibility. And then would you go down, please, to verse 33. And let me have you read that. Can you read that together, verse
33? 都当爱妻子,
here is the summary of the whole thing.
所以呢,
husbands,
丈夫们,
love your wife as yourself.
爱你的妻子,
wives, respect your
妻子,
husband. That's Paul's blueprint for the marriage. This is what's going to give us marriages that shape us in the image of Christ. marriages that help us to walk wisely. He speaks first to the wife. Submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now, I said that very often that verse makes people unhappy. One reason it makes people unhappy is it's often misused. Because it becomes a club. I'm the husband. And you are to submit. But in Scripture, submission is not about being a doormat. It doesn't mean you are inferior. It doesn't mean you never have an opinion. And it doesn't even refer primarily to outward demeanor. You know, it's possible to appear submissive while manipulating to get what I want. One woman said, in my family, my husband is the head. All I am is the little neck. And I just turn the head wherever I want him to go. That's not what Paul's talking about here. He says, to be submissive as to the Lord. And when we want to know what that means, we have the example of Jesus. He shows us what this looks like. And he shows us the result. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Paul says that even though he was God, Jesus submitted himself to serve mankind. A willing submission. Not because there's a club over me. Not a slave. But a willing submission to the will of the Father. And then Paul tells us what the result is. Therefore, verse 9. Because Jesus did that, God has highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Can I say to you, husbands, that when your wife and your relationship with her, a spirit of submission, as Paul describes, your responsibility is to raise her to a place of honor. Not to be a dictator. Not to claim, well, I'm the head of the house. But to honor. But back to the wives. He says submitting. Showing respect and honor. Down in verse 33, let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, I'm not going to ask you wives, how many of you feel like you respect your husband? But let me talk about that word respect for a moment. Because in summing this up, Paul says something very, very wise in verse
33.
Husbands, you are to love your wife. Back in the marriage retreat that we did, I said to you, Paul is very wise here because he understands something. Husbands, the thing your wife most needs to know is, that you love her. She needs to feel. You care for her. And sometimes we as husbands are not very good at communicating that. We're like the old 80-year-old man whose wife sued him for divorce. And the judge said, why are you divorcing me? You've been married for 50 years. And the wife said, he doesn't love me anymore. How do you know? He never tells me. So the judge turns to the man and says, is that true? You don't love her? And he says, of course I love her. 50 years ago we got married. I told her then I love her. If I change my mind, I'll tell her. Sometimes that's the way we are. Paul says, your wife needs to know you love her. And then he says something incredibly wise. And that is this. And let the wife see that she loves her husband. Right? No. What's it say? Respect. That is wise. Wives need to know my husband loves and cares for me. I'm the center of his world. Men need to know their wife looks up to them. And honors them. I'm not going to get to this today. So, and some of you won't come back next week. So let me jump to it. Paul, Proverbs talks about the woman who wins the heart of another woman's husband, an adulterous woman. And it says something intriguing. It doesn't say she wins him with her beauty. It says she wins him with her words. And I have seen this happen many times. It's not her beauty. But here's what happens. Man is at work. And he feels, you know, my wife just takes me for granted. And a co-worker. Oh, you're such a wonderful worker here. This company couldn't make it without you. And he grows an inch. And soon, you know, can you give me some advice on something? My husband doesn't really understand me, but I can tell you do. I need your help on this. And he grows an inch. You understand what is happening? Because the thing that he wants more than anything is respect. And here's a woman who has given it to him. And soon he's caught in that trap.
然后很快这个落入陷阱里头。
I'll come back to that next week. But let me say to you as ladies, the respect your husband. The most important thing I want to say is this. Respect does not depend on feelings. It is something you choose to do. And the more you choose to act respectfully and look for things to honor, the more you will begin to feel that respect. And in turn, when we come to the commands to the husband, love your wives, I can say to you husbands, love does not depend on feelings. Love is a choice that I can make to act and behave in a certain way.
就是爱呢，是我可以选择以一种方式来表现。I
can act my way.
我可以就是行出来这个方式。And
by act, I don't mean pretend. I can take actions.
不是说就是假装，而是说我可以选择这种行动。That
will generate the feelings later.
这个行动呢，后边会带来这种感受，这种感情，这种感受。
Because of time, I'm But I told at the retreat a true story of a woman who came to a divorce lawyer and said, I want to leave my husband, but I want to hurt him as badly as I can. He's taken me for granted. And I want him to suffer. And the lawyer said to the woman, here's what you do. You go home and you treat him like a king for 30 days. You just make him feel like he is the center of your universe. For 30 days. And 1 month from now, we're going to file the divorce papers. And it's going to destroy him. True story. 28 days later, the lawyer gets a phone call from the lady, canceling her appointment. She said, my husband and I are so in love. You see, we treat each other in a marriage with love and respect, and that then grows. I do not do marriage counseling. Don't ask. But a while back, I was overseas. And I had lunch with a man. And he began to pour out his hurts in his marriage. And as we talked, over and over, he said this. I just want her to say one thing that she respects about me. She just thinks I'm nothing. Through the circumstances, later in that week, I was talking with his wife. And she said, can you tell that my husband and I are not very happy? And I said, well, I'd seen a little bit of signs. She said, I just wish that my husband loved me. 2 days before, he had said to me, I love her, but she just doesn't have any respect for me. And she sat there and she said these very words. She said, I know my husband is a wonderful church leader. He's a great teacher. He's a great Christian. But he doesn't love me. And I realized both of these people were living right here. He needed respect and felt he didn't get it. She needed to feel loved and felt she didn't
get it.
We're going to come back to this next week. But for this week, let me simply say this. In your marriage, husbands, Paul says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. That means sacrificially. He put the church first in everything. He gave his life for the church. I am not a counselor, and this is not a group therapy session. But if it was, I would ask you wives, how many of you think that your wife, husband loves you as much as Christ loved the church and he would willingly, happily give his life? Husbands, you might be surprised at how few hands would go up. Ask her on the way home. And then if this were a group therapy session, I would say, men, how many of you really think that in the eyes of your wife, you are the center of the universe? She just thinks you are the most incredible man she's ever met. And she highly respects you. Wives, there would probably be one less hand raised than you think. So what do we do? We do the actions that will generate the feelings. Wives, you show your husband honor and respect. Not tearing down. Not picking. But honoring. And husbands, you show her love. Even when you don't feel particularly loving, you love sacrificially. You separate the role from the person. And you say, that's my wife and I'm going to show her love. Even if she doesn't act very lovable right now. In other words, did that bell ring yet?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'll quit. In other words, we talked this morning in a small group. Jesus is with the disciples at Caesarea Philippi. And he says, who do men say that I am? Some say Elijah, some say Baptist. Who do you say? And Peter says, You're the Christ.
你是基督,
the Son of God.
神的儿子.
Jesus is amazed.
耶稣太棒了.
That's wonderful. You
太好了.
Understand it.
你了解了, 耶稣是谁?
You are Peter, the rock.
他说你是彼得,是岩石,是磐石.
Did Jesus love Peter right then?
耶稣在那个时候是不是爱彼得呢?是的。
Absolutely.
肯定了。
It's just a few days later.
就过了几天。
They're walking down the road. They're leaving Caesarea Philippi.
他们就离开那个凯撒利亚菲利比。
And Jesus says,
耶稣就说,
We're going to Jerusalem.
我们要去耶路撒冷。
They're going to arrest me. They're going to
他们会抓捕我, 他们会杀害我。
And Peter says, That's not right.
彼得说那怎么对?
I won't let that happen.
我怎么会让那个发生?
And Jesus looks at him and says,
耶稣就看着彼得就说,
Satan,
不是撒旦,
go away.
退到我后面去吧,
You're a stumbling block.
因为你是绊我绊脚石。
Here's my question.
进我的问题是,
Did Jesus love Peter when he has to call him Satan and a stumbling block?
当耶稣说彼得是撒旦和这个绊脚石的时候，那耶稣还爱彼得吗？
Absolutely.
肯定的。
We move a few weeks later. Jesus is on trial.
耶稣,
And Peter denies even knowing him.
耶稣被捕。彼得甚至说他不认识耶稣。
Imagine he's been one of his closest friends and he says, I don't even know who he is.
想象一下,彼得是耶稣最亲近的门徒,他甚至就说,我都不知道这人是谁。
And it says that Jesus turned.
然后就说耶稣转过身来,
and looked at him.
看着彼得。
Can you imagine the hurt
你可以想象彼得心里的那种,
that Jesus is feeling?
那种耶稣亲彼得那种伤害吗?
But did he love Peter?
他是不是还爱耶稣彼得呢?
In every case, Jesus' response
在每一种情况下,耶稣的反应就是,
is determined not by Peter's actions.
他不是因为彼得的行为而反应的,耶稣的反应不会因为彼得而觉得,彼得的行为反应。
But by his love.
而是被耶稣自己的爱。
And so I want to challenge you this week.
所以我要挑战大家,
to do this.
这个星期这样做。
Don't wait for feelings.
不要等你的感受,
but regardless of the feeling,
不管你有什么样的感受,
wives,
妻子们,
make a point to show your husband
就是要决定,
respect and honor this week.
你这个星期尊敬他,
Husbands,
先生们,
make a point to show your wives love and compassion and affection.
蛮有怜悯,
and out of those actions,
从你的那些行动当中,
we begin to find the feelings.
我们就开始会有那种感受,
but we don't wait for the feelings. All right, we'll finish this next week. Dear God, I thank you for your word.
主啊,我们为你的话语感谢你,
the very practical teaching that you give us. Help us to learn it and to live it. I pray in Jesus' name.